Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector in Chicago, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. And I'd love to meet you at the Dog Film Festival in New York City, October 2nd and 3rd. Go to dogfilmfestival.com to learn more. The Expert Vet is a production of 8 Paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content and are proud to bring you this PSA about the catnip allergy study. Are you allergic to cats? Does your cat or the cat of a friend or family member cause you to sneeze or get itchy, watery eyes? If so, you may be qualified to participate in catnip, a clinical study of an investigational drug combined with allergy shots. Researchers are screening cat allergic individuals at their study sites in Los Angeles, Denver, Chicago, Baltimore, Chapel Hill, Seattle, and Madison. If you're allergic to cats and interested in learning more about the catnip study, go to www.catallergystudy.org. This show is brought to you with the generous support of Halo Holistic Natural Cat and Dog Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes, like Vigor, give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner, while Daily Greens bring vitamins and digestive enzymes into your dog's diet. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com for pets awaiting a forever home. Dr. Donna, diabetes in cats, an epidemic, I guess, is a pretty fair word to use?
Correct, yes.
And in the time that you've been practicing as a board-certified internist, do you see an increase or an increase in awareness of it?
Yes, both. You know, the incidence of diabetes in general over the last 20 years has been increasing because of the more frequent risk factors. And you're going to feel like I sound like a broken record, but the feeding of high-carb dry foods, you know, cats have moved from barnyard to backyard, backyard to bedroom.
Yes.
And so with that, we've taken them out of a natural prey environment, moved them inside, and fed them dry food. So during that 20 to 30 year time frame, we've seen, you know, more diabetes. The fact that they're inactive, sitting in the house, they don't go outside anymore, and then increased obesity because of the dry food, because of the inactivity, you know, all these things sort of, you know, intermingle in such an intimate way.
So if those of you that are not familiar with the whole conversation, that dry food is the main, probably the only really contributing factor to the epidemic of obesity in cats, a prior The Expert Vet show and Dr. Donna's webinars on CattingtonPost.com, which there's a link to on RadioPetLady.com at The Expert Vet in the podcast library. You'll learn more about that there. But is it fair to say Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins does believe in her practice for years as a feline only specialist and writing her book, Your Cat, that the cause of diabetes, that diabetes is not a genetic disease in a cat, it's not a natural disease, it's not, oh, well, cats just become diabetic, it is caused by the carb-rich, carb-heavy reality of all dry food, which then leads to obesity, which then leads to diabetes. Is that pretty much the progression, to your mind, of the disease?
Well, it's too narrow of a view because that it isn't true. There is genetic basis.
Okay.
It's been proven very readily. But in 85% of cats, what you just said is correct.
Now, let's say you had a genetic predisposition, you, Mr. Cat, to diabetes. If you did not feed Kitty crack, if you only fed an excellent canned, or some people like raw,
they can still become diabetic.
Okay, good to know.
And that is cats like the Russian Blue, the Burmese cat. Very specifically, the Burmese cat, they can be as slim and trim and young and beautiful as they can be.
My goodness.
They're still going to become diabetic.
They are the coolest cats. A friend had one I lived with in their place for a while. Oh, they're the most wonderful cats.
Right.
So they have a predisposition to diabetes?
Yeah.
Yikes.
They do. I mean, Russian Blue, Siamese, Maine Coon, Burmese, those are our big genetics. But then there are also other things that can cause diabetes in cats that is not due to the insulin resistance of diabetes, the type 2 diabetic, if you will.
Okay.
There are very specific conditions and, you know, nothing that,
right.
Because the bulk, let's talk about the bulk. What Dr. Hodgins has said is correct in 80 to 85% of cats.
Okay.
That diabetes is what we call type 2 diabetes, meaning there is some sort of risk factor present. Let's go with obesity. That's a big one.
Right.
So there's this risk factor present, and the obese cat's pancreas, which is where insulin comes from, it still has the ability to make insulin and secrete insulin. And even though the insulin is in the right spot in the cat, it's just not working well because the obesity is there working against it hormonally. And so what
fat itself, people refer to fat as an organ. I know that's not, it seems such a weird word to lay people, but you as a veterinarian, and I guess human doctors too, I don't know, they view fat as an active, it's not a benign, yellow, gushy, yucky stuff under the skin.
No, it's very, very hormonally active.
Okay.
And so what happens, this hormonally active fat is sitting there saying, oh yeah, insulin, you can knock on my door, but you're not coming in. And so what happens is these cats end up with higher, sort of after they eat, their blood sugar tends to be higher. High carb diets, a little higher blood sugar in general, because carbs turn right into sugar. And over time, this cat's pancreas has to make more insulin and more insulin and more insulin to take care of this slightly
yes.
high blood sugar
yes.
all the time. That's what's called prediabetes. And then one day the seesaw tilts just a little bit and the cat's pancreas is like, forget it, I'm done. I can't make any more insulin to take care of all this high blood sugar. That's when overt diabetes occurs. And then it's like a real catch-22, because the higher the blood sugar, the more the pancreas gets suppressed, the more the pancreas becomes unable to secrete insulin. The higher the blood sugar, the pancreas just goes into complete shutdown, which is interesting.
Is it permanent the way the kidney?
No.
It's not, right? Because
no.
you've talked about kidney disease and the fact that it sort of calcifies, that the kidney
yeah,
itself,
this is, yeah,
the organ.
Forget that. That has nothing to
do with it. It's
yeah,
not like
no.
the pancreas gets ruined or damaged or
right.
destroyed. It just shuts off.
But it can eventually. If that sugar it goes unrecognized, if the cat keeps having high blood sugar, the pancreas eventually, gradually, cell by cell, will start to die if the blood sugar is not recognized and treated aggressively. But in a newly diagnosed diabetic cat, say a pet owner says, wow, my cat's drinking a lot, losing some weight, you know, classic diabetes signs, that is, get into the vet immediately. If your cat is diabetic, diagnosed with high blood sugar, brand new diabetic, we can expect with aggressive treatment, real ultra low carb diet with insulin treatment, within the first 1 to 3 months, we can expect the new goal for diabetes is to revert them to a non-diabetic state.
Wow.
And that can happen in up to 85% of these cats. And that's amazing. That never used to happen.
So really, there is a sign and a symptom. Thirst and weight loss. Is a sign that something isn't right.
Right.
Any change in your cat's eating, drinking,
right.
or bowel habits is something worth noting.
Where we really want to get them is when they're getting fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter, and they're pre-diabetic.
Right.
The fatter your cat is getting, they guaranteed are in a pre-diabetic metabolism. If they're eating a dry food and they're getting fatter every year, you go into the vet, he started at 8, then he went to 10, then now he's at 12, and now he's 14, and he's gradually getting older and older, and that's happening, guaranteed he's going into a pre-diabetic metabolism. That's when we want the vet to say, put on the brakes. Let's get you on a canned food, low-carb diet, start you on a weight loss plan, because we could potentially head diabetes off at the path.
Which is absolutely thrilling and amazing. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the canned prescription cat foods that are then at that juncture sometimes or often recommended by vets, and whether those ingredients are actually appropriate because they really aren't low carb. I've yet to find one. Maybe one's out there, but again, it's the owner who has to be on top of it. We'll be right back after a quick word. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test to determine which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. Spot Platinum can detect allergies for which they can make a USDA-approved oral spray custom-tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. Dr. Donna, if your cat's getting fatter each year, you hope you're going in for a test for a vet visit every year. A lot of people don't because the cats hate going to the vet. Maybe you could find a house call vet. As the fat cat gets fatter and you're lucky enough to have a vet who says, you know what? I do remember back in the day when 8 to 10 pounds was the correct weight for a cat. This cat's weight is climbing. That's never good. Not good for humans, not good for animals. Mm-hmm. What about if they recommend or want to sell the canned prescription diet that's theoretically made for diabetic cats, which is often a very high carb diet?
Well, no, you're mixing the two of them up because okay. There are prescription diets that are designed for diabetics, which are lower in carb. But there are prescription weight loss diets, and those diets are different. So we're not talking diabetic diet. We're talking about, let's say you've got the 18 pounder. The cat is not diabetic, but he's 18 pounds, and the vet says, "Ooh, let's gift you on a prescription weight loss diet." Say, "No, thank you. I
can do that myself with a high quality, low carb canned food of any kind."
Because they are not generally the weight loss diets. Our prescription diets are low in fat, moderate in protein, and high in carbs. And again, you're going to get some weight loss for them, but you're not feeding your cat ideally. And their blood sugar isn't necessarily going to, it won't necessarily, if they're pre-diabetic, come under control.
Right.
You need to go to a high protein, low carb. And honestly, it's the low carb portion of that that's so important. And the, you know, from there, and that's why, again, if every budget, there is a food for every budget. You can call up, can I say, like Friskies, Fancy Feast, you know,
absolutely.
Name the cat food brand. There is a food you can feed that is going to be in your budget that
That's
is
right.
going to help.
That's
and so
right.
it doesn't have to be, you know, feed what you can afford and everyone can afford a cheaper. I would rather see a cat on the cheapest canned food than the most expensive, wonderful dry food.
So I'm just very thrilled to have Dr. Donna reiterate what I've said, which has shocked people over the years. Any canned food is better than any dry food. And that sounds startling, but it is. Now, you want to have the best possible amount of protein in there and the highest quality.
Right.
It doesn't mean that all of the stuff at the supermarket is going to be okay. It means actually only a few flavors or styles in each brand will be okay.
And that is shocking because within one food family, there can be a huge difference. And so it is some legwork on the part of calling the company and often leaving a message. Can you have your veterinarian get back to me or the nutritionist get back to me with the percent of calories coming from carbs? That's the specific question. It's my mantra, the percent calories coming from carbs. It's different than like they might try to give you a dry matter or something like that. It's different. It's percent calories coming from carbs.
Which isn't something that they ordinarily are talking about.
No, they're definitely not talking about that.
So you've got the fat cat, but who doesn't have high blood sugar. So that's the easy one to just get onto the appropriate food.
Right.
The weight will come off gradually with, you know, and as you said in our previous show about fat, we're talking 6 to 8 months. This is not a quick fix, and that's okay. 1 to 2% of their body weight over a 6 to 8 month period, it will melt away little by little. In fact, one of the things that I learned in doing the Biggest Kitty Loser contest, when I said to people, stop giving whatever dry food you're giving and give the very best canned food you can give. And because some cats balk at that transition, their brain has become habituated to what the food scientists have put on the dry food so that it's become the thing they crave and what they view as food. They don't even understand that you could eat a mouse, you could eat a piece of turkey, you could eat a piece of beef. You can't stop eating altogether. Can we just talk about that just briefly? Because a fat cat that stops eating because he doesn't understand he's being given a better, more yummy, more appropriate food can go into fatty liver disease from no food at all, right?
Right. And, you know, there are many, many tips and tricks, and we can maybe put some links on the website so we don't stray too far off the diabetes path. But there are, I always say to my clients, you know, if you've got you know, the cat who's putting on the brakes. It doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there, as long as you get there. And, you know, there are ways to slowly introduce little bits at a time.
Right.
And, you know, tricks and when to feed and when not to feed and maximizing hunger to work with you. But yet,
right.
if they hold out, and if you absolutely have to, which dry foods would be the best ones to use?
Right.
You know, so there are tricks to it. And we can you know, put some links on, you know, transitioning the dry food addict onto canned food.
The only reason I mention it is because we want you to lose the weight and we don't want your cat to become diabetic at all. Or if pre-diabetic, stop that. But it's not like you sort of think of, you know, the scenes in Mommy Dearest where the kid doesn't eat, and I happen to have written the screenplay, so I kind of know it well. But, I mean, it's kind of this famous idea. You just keep putting that same plate down. You eat this or go hungry.
Right.
Cats, you know, if they go on a hunger strike, they could, and they're fat to begin with. As I understand it, the fat that's packed around their liver.
Yeah, they're real at risk for going into liver failure from the fat going into their liver. So you do have to, you know, approach it cautiously.
You can't give them no food while they're getting used to the better food.
That is correct.
Now, what if you've got a cat, one of the at-risk breeds, and you didn't know until you heard the show, oh, my God, I have a Siamese, and he looks great, and so does my Burmese. I'm going to go into the vet. I'm going to check the blood sugar.
Yep.
Oh, my Lordy, they are diabetic.
Well, generally, if they're diabetic, there are going to be signs. The classic signs are drinking and peeing a ton.
Okay.
And losing weight eventually, I mean, because their bodies feel like they're starving. But the big ones are they're just voraciously thirsty, peeing all over, voraciously hungry, and losing weight. So it's rarely going to be like a out of the blue no signs.
I mean,
but those cats should be monitored for, you know, general trends of blood sugar. But, you know, let's say now we have this cat who has been diagnosed with diabetes. And, you know, it used to be traditionally we'd say, well, we're just, you know, we'll change, you know, well, what we want to avoid is saying, well, let's just change the food. Now go to a low carb diet. You know, let's just change the food and see what happens. Let's see if they revert all by themselves. That is outdated. And that's only that's only been in the last few years that we've done that. But because what happens is if you start with a diet change alone, going to the low carb food, it isn't going to be enough to reverse some of the toxic changes all that sugar has been suppressing the pancreas. And so it is so much, and it's less likely every single day that goes by that cat doesn't get insulin. It's less likely that we're going to be able to revert them. So even after 1 to 2 weeks of just the diet, it's just not enough anymore. I look my owner right in the eye and I said, do you want your cat to become non-diabetic? Yes is the answer. And I said, then give me 1 to 3 months.
Yes.
And if you do everything I say, we're going to maximize our chances of making your cat non-diabetic. And it's going to be hard work, and we're going to be really vigilant. We're going to feed the right food. We're going to give insulin aggressively. And I'm 85% chance that we'll be able to make your cat non-diabetic in this first 3 months.
And so even though you understand, you, the owner, understand, okay, I was feeding the wrong food, not my fault, not my bad, it's what society told me, maybe even my vet told me, it's just what I've always done, you need the insulin. You have to get used to giving these little injections, and once you get used to it, it's no biggie, that doesn't hurt the cat, in order to
diabetic remission.
Okay. So it's just, does it stimulate the pancreas to come back to life, or it takes the burden off it?
It takes the burden off the pancreas. The whole name of this thing is called blood sugar toxicity or glucose toxicity.
Okay.
Because once the blood sugar has been so high, the pancreas just gets tamped down further and further and further, and it just doesn't work. The food alone is definitely going to help, but it's not going to help enough to allow the pancreas to take a big sigh of breath and say,
yes,
I can start making insulin again.
I see.
It takes the insulin to really drive the sugar down really low. Like you want this sugar low normal. You want it lower so that the pancreas finally says, oh, well, look at here. This is a perfect environment. I'm going to start picking up and making and secreting insulin again.
Because it really is like it's hiding under a rock going, forget it. This is way beyond my ability.
Right. Versus just the canned food change. It's going to bring the sugar down. It just doesn't bring it down enough to allow these cats to recover as quickly. And so, again, this is a whole new theory in the the last 5 years. You know, we're talking about newer stuff that definitely early diagnosis, increased physical activity to start promoting weight loss, strict control of low-carb diet, canned food only, aggressive initial insulin treatment, and then vigilant at-home monitoring. And those are the arms of diabetic management. You know, we focused a lot on food, and so we definitely want to do that less than 10% calorie from carbs, but the insulin is so important. And there are several different types of insulin, but, you know, I think, again, there are definite advantages of certain types of insulin, and there are some insulins that should never be used in cats ever. We use them in dogs, but we don't use them in cats. And so, you know.
So that's something we definitely help people make clear. I mean, you would hope vets would know, but it's possible that a vet not used to the newer thinking or just behind the times.
In general, in order of preference.
Before you start, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the types of insulin, numero uno, dos, and then the one to be avoided, the doggy one. We'll be right back. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado who has created many different low-dust litters for the health of all members of the family, cats or people with asthma and allergies. Precious Cat also makes litter for the special needs of many cats, from kitten-attract litter that helps youngsters develop good habits to cat-attract litter that helps those with out-of-litter box issues get back in the box. Precious Cat's Touch of the Outdoors litter provides environmental and enrichment, bringing to indoor cats the natural scent of the outdoors from field grasses grown in their own fields. This show is also brought to you by Meow Space, a clear ventilated enclosure that can be a one cat feeding space, a litter box station, or even a safe place to nap, designed so that only one cat with a unique access device can enter the see-through box. Meow Space is made in the USA to solve out of litter box problems and individualized feeding needs in multi-cat households. Big enough for large cats to do their business or small dogs to eat their own food in peace, Meow Space benefits the whole family because it also keeps dogs and small children out of the litter box too. Go to meowspace.biz. That's meowspace.biz to see for yourself. Dr. Donna, for aggressive management of early diabetes with insulin, and maybe even to cats where it's been going on for years, and so they're just going to be diabetic forever. It's just the ship has sailed for them. What is the type of insulin that is considered the kind of gold standard?
The two biggies now, they're newer human insulins, and they're, one is called glargine, and the other is Detemir. And those two, in research studies that have even just recently been done, are definitely showing advantages when we talk about achieving a non-diabetic remission state. So a lot of insulins can be used in cats if you're happy to just have a diabetic cat forever.
I see.
Like, so
to use this aggressive treatment, to go in with the big guns, you use a human product in an intense, organized, you know, carefully monitored way, and then you may never need to use it again for the rest of their life.
Well, we'll get to that.
Possibly.
It is more likely they're going to become diabetic again at some point. But the point is, there are the glargine and Detemir, and they're about equivalent in, you know, in what we can expect from them. The good news is, you know, we don't see the crazy highs and lows like we see with some of the other insulins. They keep the blood sugar nice and low. Cats respond really well to them. They're ultra long acting. I mean, they're just some really great properties.
Are they expensive for people to buy?
The kicker is they're expensive.
Ouch.
So.
Would pet insurance cover it?
They would. And the thing to
boys and girls, pet insurance, really important.
When you go to the pharmacy, the human pharmacist is going to say, oh, yeah, you got to get rid of that in a month. Well, that's
not
been
really
looked at. Yeah. We know that the insulin is potent for up to 6 months. So in veterinary patients, we use it routinely up to 6 months. So even though the label says discard after 4 to 6 weeks, I mean, human medicine, where they're a lot more worried about bacterial contamination and other things, and no one's paying for it, you know, it's like,
wouldn't it be nice if they could give you a discount? Oh, it's for your cat. We'll give it to you at 50%. No such luck.
But, you know, and so then starting insulin, most cats are going to start between, you know, 1 and 3 units of insulin twice a day. Twice a day is important. All cats need to go on twice a day at start. And then the monitoring, if you're going to use the insulin, it just doesn't stop there. I mean, when we're talking about our goal is to get these cats non-diabetic, we have to monitor them, and it should only be done in the home environment. And that is so freaky to so many people. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to take my cat's blood sugar at home. There's lots of videos. It's easy. You know, the monitors, you can use human meters, but there are also cat dog cat meters that are more accurate, but human meters can be used for maybe a little bit of cost savings. And, you know, there's lots of tips on how to do all this that probably goes beyond the extent of what we can get in here.
But we can put links to it with the podcast.
Exactly. But the whole goal is that we're monitoring these cats' blood sugar twice a day. Just like if you were a human diabetic, minimum you're going to check 2, 4, 6
right.
times a day. But cats, we're saying, okay, we're hopefully meal feeding you your low carb canned food, and we're going to check your blood sugar right before you eat, both morning and night, before you eat and before you get your insulin morning and night. And we have a very small scale of what's acceptable. And if it varies from that, you're making a dose adjustment. So if we want their blood sugar, say we want it to be 180 to 200 at the highest, and at the lowest, we want it to be 70 to 80. And if we're not getting that, we are adjusting the dose on a dose-by-dose basis, and that's very aggressive management.
And do most vets know how to give people that management and support and advice and information?
And I'll be honest, no, they don't. And we're working on that. I mean, obviously, that's why I do a lot of continuing education. I'm trying to get out there, discuss ways to manage, you know, diabetics. And obviously, if they happen to call and we talk to them on, you know, I do a lot of, as you know, consulting. You know, it's the word is getting out. But that's why shows like this, where I can spread education and information, you know, people can contact me and I can work with their vet to provide these scales. You know, there are a lot of people who know how to do it, and the information is starting to be readily available.
So we're still, though, on the learning curve for vets.
We're on the learning curve for vets. So again, if one of our listeners has a cat who becomes diabetic, you know, she can say, well, you know, I know that there's a newer,
right,
you know, more aggressive treatment, and you know, maybe it'll stimulate a phone call. You know, that's what happens. You know, education often happens that way.
Right. Goes from the owner back
driven.
To the vet. Yeah.
Owner driven.
And very important to realize that if you are willing and able to jump right in and follow this guideline, you can stop a process from going downhill.
Right.
And then you said that at some later point in life, no matter how well that cat is then fed, that he or she is going to always be at risk for redeveloping it, if that's the right word.
Right, because there's been an injury, if you will, to the pancreas. But, you know, so let's say we are lucky that we've aggressively treated, we've monitored at home. No cat should go into a clinic.
Because of the stress, you mentioned that.
Glucose curve, absolutely. No cat should go into the clinic for a glucose curve. You're doing them at home. You know, again, you can do these curves at home, get so much better information. Let's say the cat does eventually require less insulin. We're slowly cutting back the insulin. Voila, the cat goes into remission. So once they're in remission, you know, like we said, the work doesn't stop there. We want to check glucose. You know, we want to check these blood sugar measurements. I have clients check them at least once a week. And then if they're really, you know, really staying good, maybe once every couple weeks, but you want to find early signs because the biggest mistake I have clients make is, oh, my cat became non-diabetic. I'm going to give him a little dry food for a treat.
Yeah. Such a heartbreak.
It's such a heartbreak.
Or the treats, the so-called treats made for cats that have.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Horrible
yes,
sugars and glucose. And
so it's imperative that the low-carb diet be continued because that's a major risk factor. It's imperative that obesity, that we're continuing to work on it, that we're getting them to stay fit and exercise them, minimize those risk factors, minimize the treats, give little tiny pieces of tuna and chicken, that's fine.
Or cheese. There's lots of things you have that cost you nothing or virtually nothing. The cat will love them and don't cause them any health risk.
Right.
Don't be buying costly stuff in strange shapes and colors in a jar or a pouch.
Because just that amount of carbs in those are sometimes enough to move us back into the diabetic syndrome.
Of course, the Halo Live A Littles that are beef and salmon and chicken, those are fine. They're pure protein, the freeze-dried ones.
Right.
But there's lots of things in your own little cheese drawer in your fridge, little piece of deli meat even, as long as it's a small amount.
Right.
It's
and
still
cheese,
preferable.
I'm going to put out a personal warning on cheese. Cheese is so high in calories, though, that really should be avoided.
Really?
For dogs and cats.
Really? Even though, you know, their body can handle the fat?
Well, because it still comes down. We're talking about cats who have weight issues.
You're right.
Diabetes.
You're still the Weight Watchers queen.
It's a calorie issue.
Yeah.
You still have to be attentive in these at-risk cats of calories, not just protein and fat and carbs.
Well, you know, I can just say from the point of view of Maisie, my wonderful 2-year-old Weimaraner, that she sighs often because her only treat now is frozen broccoli florets. She's like, seriously? Yep. Because if I and you with your cat stray outside of the thing that doesn't seem thrilling to you, but it's sure better than the high fat or the high carb or the high calorie treat, you can undo all the good you've done. Right. I mean, if you think of a child, of course, that's not type 1 diabetes. That is type 1 diabetes. Yeah. Childhood diabetes, their kids are
childhood
born with
diabetes,
it.
Yes, is more often type 1, truly never reversible.
Right. But the point is, you're never giving that kid a Snickers bar. You're never giving that kid a piece of fruit or something without monitoring their blood sugar and adjusting their insulin. So you shouldn't do it to your cat either. I mean, not that that's necessarily the parameter how you would treat your child, but you're in control of the calories. You're in control of what goes in their mouth. You have to exercise intelligence and caution and the common sense that Dr. Donna's pointing out. You know, it doesn't take but a misstep to go in the wrong direction.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
All right. Well, I think that it's important that people understand that we've created, for at least 80 or 85% of cats, we've created diabetes is an epidemic. You can not do that for any cats that now enter your life. It's easy. Just stay away from kitty crack. And those who might have, get them tested and then learn all the ways that you can manage and handle and maybe reverse it. Thank you so much, Dr. Donna.
Thank you.